In the back tonight is a list of the servants that we'll be voting on in 2 weeks from tonight. And so if you would like to look at the list, there's a list back there. If you have any questions or concerns, I would ask that you talk to me privately about those. But you can look at that. We'll also be voting on deacons that night, 2 weeks from tonight. And so that list is in the back. We're trying to make people aware of that as we continue toward that date. I will give you a number of prayer requests to be thinking about and write down. But I want to preach to you first tonight, because what I'm preaching about affects our prayer time tonight. And so take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And we'll look at verses 1 and 2. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 and 2. And the Bible says there, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." And this is coming out of a church, remember, that Paul spoke to for 3 weeks. He was on site, and there was a good response to the gospel. In fact, we understand that they received it not as it was the word of men, but as it is the truth, the word of God. And he's writing to this church now, and if you go back into chapter number 2, leading into chapter number 3, he says, "We are bound to give thanks always," in verse number 13, "to God for you, because, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Aren't you glad that God chose you? By the way, God doesn't choose some to go to hell and some to go to heaven. God chooses everybody to be saved. It's His will that everybody would be saved. It's just a matter of a faith response in the heart that opens up that door to eternal life. But the debt was paid for everybody, and it's His will for everybody to be saved. But if you're in Christ tonight, boy, you're thankful that He chose you. Certainly, Paul's giving that spirit of thanksgiving here. And then not only chosen to salvation, but we have the Spirit of God in us. Two tremendous blessings. But if you take that chosen and you take that sovereignty of God to an extreme, then why do I need to witness or pray? In other words, if you believe the sovereignty of God to the exclusion of the free will of man, that God doesn't give men choices, then why witness and why pray? I think it's interesting that in verse 13, he's thanking God for being chosen unto salvation. But when we get to chapter 3 and verse number 1, he's saying, "Pray for us, brethren." For what? For the word of the Lord to have free course. He wasn't looking at God as a sovereign God that throws prayer out the window. He wasn't looking at God as a sovereign God that we might as well not witness because God's got it all under control. He didn't see God and His sovereignty as a threat to what we ought to be doing before God. And he says, "Pray for us." Did you know that prayer is fundamental to evangelism? In Acts chapter 1, they prayed, didn't they? They gathered together in Acts chapter 1, the 120 disciples, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. It's no wonder by Acts chapter 6 that you have 8,000 people saved. Because there was prayer leading up to the evangelistic outreaches of the local church. Prayer acknowledges God's primacy in the saving of lives and our human inadequacies. Can I tell you tonight what's happening across the street? For a young person to walk in off the street, probably steeped in evolution, maybe steeped in atheism, and for them to come to a knowledge of the gospel and choose Christ in a night is a miracle. That is God. God does those kinds of things. And so tonight, I want to remind you of our responsibility as believers to bear the weight of prayer in preparation and support behind all of the outreaches that go through Mount Zion Baptist Church. So there are some this week, this year, that have already happened. Camp, right? Now, it was an in-reach, but there were five people saved at camp this year. There's always a form of outreach. There's always a form of the gospel being preached in some way, some form at camp, in the junior camp and in the teen camp. There are 2 days of VBS left. There's a closing program on Sunday night. That will be a different group of people that's been coming all week. That'll include parents of children. There's tonight and tomorrow night of Cola Clash. We don't know who's going to show up. Lots of contacts have been made. But there's that outreach. There's back-to-school extravaganza coming up. That's a pointed outreach. Brother Bobby has another meeting coming up on the Landmark Bible Society. That's a pointed outreach. And then you have ongoing outreaches. You have TNT Soul Winning. You have Operation Saturation that happens throughout the year. You got the prison ministry where we're working with ones and twos. But every individual is important. And we have no idea who's going to show up from week to week in the prison ministry. We have nursing home ministry. We have weekly services where the gospel is being preached and lost people are attending. We have Bibles being shipped around the world that can touch a life. Brethren, the duty of prayer calls us. And by the way, that doesn't include the extensions of Gina over in Zambia, working with children and young ladies. That doesn't include my mother and father's meetings where they go out and evangelize and preach the gospel. Doesn't include the Hardeckers' return to the Philippines and the Word of God going forth there. And so it is a good time to remind us of the duty that we have as believers to pray behind our local church outreaches. Paul was speaking to a local church that knew him. He had impact there, and he was calling upon the church to pray for him. I think that Paul realized, probably the greatest apostle, if we were to measure them, that he needed constant and intercessory prayer in the work of the ministry. Prayer is something that every believer can engage in when it comes to the gospel. I do not believe that prayer is a gift of the Spirit. There are gifts. Prayer is not a gift. Prayer is a responsibility. Prayer is a privilege. Prayer is something that we get to do to talk to God. Every work must have prayer behind it if it is to succeed. Every successful evangelist, preacher of the Word, teacher of the Word must have people praying for them and prayer behind them as they go to accomplish the work of preaching and declaring the gospel. And may I say this tonight as we get into this passage, that the most effective prayer for ministry work and evangelism is targeted prayer. Targeted prayer. During the Vietnam War, U.S. forces employed carpet bombing. How many of you are familiar with that terminology? All right. We took huge B-52s flying at 30,000 feet, and we released hundreds of bombs over cities. Some of them might hit the target, and some of them may miss. There was the danger of collateral damage with carpet bombing. But do you recall the opening days of the first Gulf War with Iraq? Iraq had invaded Kuwait, and coalition forces gathered in Saudi Arabia to liberate Kuwait. At the time, Saddam Hussein bragged about having the fourth largest army in the world with over 1 million troops. He boasted about his elite Imperial Guard. If attacked, he predicted it would be the mother of all battles. But in January of 1991, I remember, because I was coming back from Mexico. We were afraid they were going to go into the draft and I was going to get stuck in Mexico. We were coming back from a missions trip. But Operation Desert Storm was launched with coalition aircraft flying sorties into Iraq. They had a new weapon the Iraqis had never seen before. These were laser-guided bombs and missiles called smart bombs. Soldiers on the ground or pilots in the air could designate a target with a laser, and the smart bomb would fly into that target. After the coalition forces flew several thousand sorties using smart bombs, the ground war was launched. History records there was once a war named the 100-year war. Some wars lasted 100 days, but the ground war of Operation Desert Storm lasted 100 hours. Because of the laser missiles that we used to knock out many of their satellites, they didn't even know our stealths were on top of them. Because we were sending laser missile guided bombs. Now tonight, what I'm going to give you out of these two verses in the short time that we have are laser missile prayers for evangelistic outreaches. I want you to see them tonight. First one is prayer. The first one I have is the prayer for power. The prayer for power. Look with me at verse number 1 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Prayer is one of the forces of the universe, as real as the forces of gravity, electricity, or magnetism. God always takes into account the factor of prayer. Do you realize we literally could have people around the world that are praying for our ministries of outreach this week? And God listens to them, and they affect God's work. If we didn't believe that, then why pray? But the truth of the matter is that prayer is one of the forces that affects the entire universe, all over the universe. As he brings his second letter to a close here, he says, pray for us. Notice he doesn't say, pray for our programs. Hey, I thank God for programs. I thank God for Master's Club. I thank God for VBS. I thank God for camp. I thank God for back to school. But he doesn't say pray for programs here. He says pray for us. He doesn't say pray for projects. Is it wrong to pray for programs and is it wrong to pray for projects? No, but we should not neglect praying for what he says and identifies as the missile-guided bomb, so to speak, upon the people that we're asking God to save. And so, he says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Last century, God did a mighty work in London through a giant of the faith named Charles Haddon Spurgeon. His sermons are studied to this day. I love reading Spurgeon, although I don't agree with him on everything. Many, many solid thoughts and fresh thoughts and a blessing to read. The story is told that one Sunday afternoon, a contingency of ministers came to the massive Metropolitan Tabernacle to observe him. Assuming the stout man at the side of the building wearing bib overalls was to be the janitor, they asked, "Sir, would you kindly show us the power plant of this huge structure?" "Certainly," the man replied, leading them to the basement. As he opened the door at the end of a hallway, the ministers expected to see a mighty furnace. Instead, they saw over 200 men on their knees, praying for the service to come. "Prayer, gentlemen," I quote, he said, "is the power plant of the Metropolitan Tabernacle." Now, in just a moment, next 10 minutes, we're going to go to prayer. And there's a whole lot of things happening right now because that preacher's preaching right now as I'm speaking. And there's a whole lot of things happening in hearts, and they need missile-guided bombs taken to the throne room of heaven, that the word of the Lord would have free course. The word course here means to run. In fact, if you look at the word and you trace it throughout our New Testament, you'll find it's translated ran or run throughout the New Testament. All of the other times, I believe that it's translated maybe 10 or 12 times. I didn't exactly count all of them, but I looked at all of them, and it means to run. What he's saying here is this, that we should be praying for the Word of God to have an immediate effect on the hearer, that the Word of God would win, that there would be no obstacles, that the Word of God, when it's preached, would come out as the champion. That's what Paul said to pray for. When it comes to evangelism, that's how we should pray, that the Word of God, whatever else is happening over there tonight, right now the Word of God is being preached. And Paul says, the Holy Spirit teaches us, boy, we ought to pray, pray that the Word of God speeds ahead and gets to the heart. By the way, it's why we ought to have invitations. Because we give an opportunity for somebody to act immediately upon the Word of God and for the Word of God to have its effect to bring a person to decision right now. That's what Paul is saying. He says, man, let the Word of God run. Let all the hindrances be moved out of the way so that it could make rapid progress. Now, Paul himself was hindered, as we learned about Sunday night, right? He was hindered because he was in jail at times. But he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the Word of God is not bound. In other words, there's great power in the Word, no matter the circumstances of what's going on. He was hindered by malice. He was hindered by imprisonment. He was hindered at times by Elymas the sorcerer. He was hindered at times by his own discouragement. He talked to the Corinthians about that. But he knew that prayer could help the Word of God to continually race and progress throughout the world. And did that not happen in Paul's ministry? And I'll tell you why it happened. Because I believe there were people praying. I believe there were people fulfilling this duty. The phrase signifies that the Word should move swiftly like a runner and be glorified in the process. One writer wrote, and I believe this, if you can explain what is going on, then God isn't doing it. So we should be praying that the Word of God goes forth in such a way that none of us can explain how it's all working, but that it's funneling out. Can I share something with you? Pretty exciting. Abby and Adam Dombeck, who are over with Cola Clash tonight. Abby comes to Bible school, closing program, sends her boy 2 years ago, comes back with the grandparents last year. They start to attend the church. They become members. She goes and helps in a class, and on Monday leads two people to the Lord. Now watch this. That's what it means for the Word to be glorified. He says here, in chapter 2, he says that the Word of the Lord, or chapter 3, that the Word of the Lord would have free course and be glorified. Glorified? How was it glorified in the church at Thessalonica? Go back to chapter number 1 of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, because we see an example of the Word of God glorified. Not only do we want it to have free course, man, speed ahead. Boy, make progress. Boy, take over lives. Boy, win out in the end. That's what we want to pray for. But we also want it to be glorified. What does that look like? Well, in verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the Word in much affliction. And verse number 8, what does it say? For from you sounded out the Word. How is the Word of God glorified? How is it exalted? How is it expanded? It's when somebody receives the Word and then turns and sounds forth the Word. That's big time, my friend. That's where the Word of God is glorified. Turn over to Acts 13. We have another example of it. Interesting how the Bible highlights this truth that this can happen. And by the way, brethren, it should be how we're praying. This is a laser-guided missile. Lord, glorify Your Word. God, let people not only receive it, but when they receive it, get so excited about it that I've got to go tell somebody about it. And so we have it in Acts chapter 13. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and did what? And glorified the Word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. There's the believing or the receiving. And what's the next verse? And the Word of the Lord was published throughout the region. How was it published? If I'm reading between the lines of the Scriptures, the Gentiles, they believed, they glorified the Word of the Lord, and then took it and published it and proclaimed it. And brethren, that's what we want in our community. That's what we want in the regions around us and the regions beyond. We want the Word of the Lord to have free course, and we want it to be glorified. We want people to get saved and start talking about it to others. What God did for them. In a church, it's a young couple that's receiving the Word in areas of their lives and in turn are teaching the Word to their children. They're receiving on Sundays and on Mondays through Fridays. They're delivering to their children. What's happening? The Word of God is being glorified. It's being exalted. It's a new convert who has received the Word of God and in turn is sharing their testimony of the gospel with others. The prayer for power, that the Word of the Lord would have free course and be glorified. In just a moment, you're going to pray, take some prayer requests. But we ought to be praying over the Word of the Lord this week in our ministries, our outreaches. Lord, I want to pray according to Your Word, according to Your Spirit here. The prayer for perseverance, verse number 2. There's always opposition to the work of God. We know that. Remember the Iron Curtain? Up for so many years that you couldn't, nobody could get in. People were sneaking in with Bibles. In fact, Don Sturch's group went behind the Iron Curtain. But could the wicked hold that Iron Curtain up forever? No, God tore it down, didn't He? That was a miracle. And Paul says in verse number 2, he speaks about being delivered from evil men. If you look at the text with me, we'll go there. Verse number 2 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not the faith. The last part here is the prayer of perseverance and protection, that they would persevere but be protected from evil men. I was speaking with Brother Bosler last night, just to give you an update on what's going on over there. He gave me a prayer point. He said, tonight, would you pray, preacher, for heavier conviction and for liberty in what we're doing? He said, as I began to preach last night, we were talking, he said, I began to preach tonight. He said, there was a group of boys to my right that immediately took opposition to what I was preaching. And that can affect the spirit, can it? And if you study Acts chapter 17 in Thessalonica, Paul faced the same thing. There were those of the lewd and baser sort, and they got on the wrong side of Paul, and they tried to stir up a whole bunch of things. And so Paul's writing, and he's writing because those people would have seen that in action. They would have seen opposition to the gospel. And he says, pray for us that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. It's one thing to have them on the outside. We as church deal with people from the outside. But did you know that somebody on the inside can get on the side of the devil and be a hindrance to the proclamation of the gospel, brethren? We got to be careful. We don't want to hold back what God's trying to accomplish in our work. J. Vernon McGee said, Paul asked for prayer that he might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Vernon McGee said, I find that the spreading of the gospel is hindered more by people in the church than by anything else. That was a penetrating thought. Boy, we don't want that to be here. We don't want people within to be hindering the gospel. But I would say this, if we're prayerless, if we don't pray, then we are somewhat of a hindrance. Because God put us in the church to pray for the evangelistic outreaches of the church.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home. A quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.